You're listening to the Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman, here with my co-host, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tammy.
Thanks for having me.
We also have our co-host, Knox Malis from Integrity Title Solutions with us. Welcome back, Knox.
Hey, guys.
And we want to continue our conversation with Marty Marler from Marler Surveying about surveys and about title work and how all this interplays when you're buying properties, selling properties, refinancing. There's a lot to it. So one question I have, Marty, is, you know, when it comes to surveying, how do you get into surveying? What type of education does it take? Just what does it take to become a surveyor?
I would say a desire first, okay, to want to get into this type of business.
Well, it's definitely outdoors. You got to like the outdoors.
Definitely outdoors. The elements play a factor in every day. Mm-hmm. Education-wise, mm-hmm. I believe it's 12 or 15 hours of survey-related courses along with some other college training. Mm-hmm. Along with that, it's a certain time, maybe 4 years experience after an individual receives the first part of the license, which is a land surveyor in training, also LSIT. Once they've obtained that, it's a 4 year train time with a land surveyor to obtain your license.
Now you're looking to hire some people, aren't you?
We are. Right. We need field help. We need crew members.
When you said that there's a shortage of surveyors out there, right? Is it just an aging field?
Not for sure. I don't believe it's an aging field. I think it's thriving. There just doesn't seem to be as many people getting into the field as there once was.
Well, and that's what I mean, is just the people that are in it have been in it for a long time, and as they're getting older, there aren't new people, like new young people coming into surveying that are replacing them fast
enough. Exactly.
We see this with the appraisal field, too. That's definitely a shortage in that industry because they keep making it tougher and tougher to become an appraiser and tougher on appraisers. So surveyors, who governs you guys?
Like, Board of Registration. Missouri has a Board of Registration that governs the land surveyors.
Okay. All right, interesting. So if somebody wants to find out more information on that, you can probably visit the Division of Professional Registration to look at getting a license. But if they want to contact you about a job, we'll make sure all your information is on our website at DougHaldeman.com. It's DougHaldeman.com. And look for Marty Marler from Marler Surveying. We'll make sure all your contact information is on there. So, guys, I'm going to just open this up. And where have you guys seen it go bad? Tell us any stories you can think of people who didn't get a survey or somehow weren't covered and really wish that they would have been.
Well, I think, you know, for me, I'll start on the front side of that, and I've seen it firsthand, where you have two realtors that start talking about, you know, one is listing this neighbor's house, so to speak, and they put that house on the market, and then afterwards they get a buyer. The buyer comes in, they get a survey, because the seller that bought that house may have bought that house, you know, 30 years ago. And they come in and do a survey, and all of a sudden you realize that your really good friend of 20 years, Bill, next door, when he erected that retaining wall that looks gorgeous on the front of his house, it encroached 4 feet on his lot. All of a sudden, you have to go to your friend, hat in hand, and say, hey, you need to remove this giant retaining wall that looks gorgeous, but it's on my land, and the buyer that I have is not going to accept it. Their lender's not going to accept it. Their title company's not going to insure it. And it can create a complete war between two people of friends for many, many years, because you're asking this person to spend thousands of dollars to remove something that looks terrific.
Right.
Unfortunately, it's not his choice. If you want to sell your house, you got to do something about it.
Interesting. So somebody may say, hey, not my problem. You want me to remove it? You're going to have to sue me.
That's exactly right. And or you can get an easement or an easement deed drafted or something of that nature. But sometimes, you know, a picky lender or somebody, they may not accept that. So it can just lead to nothing but heartache in certain cases, and which is why before you build a retaining wall, before you put up your fence, make sure you at least look back and find your survey and make sure you're doing the right thing.
Right.
Yeah, I was very glad we had a survey. We were putting a pet fence in, and one of our neighbors wanted to come over and give us – it's the same neighbor that had the issues with our trampoline – wanted to come over and give our contractor an issue about putting where he was putting the pet fence. Fortunately, he had our survey in hand to show him that he was well within the property boundary and was not going over the line, and everything was fine because we had a survey.
Right.
Marty, where have you seen this come up out in the field?
Again, on fences. We see fence problems all the time. And I think it's a lack of getting a survey prior to building the fence.
Okay.
Go ahead. I was going to ask him, how long do you keep records for people? Because I might have a survey and, you know, I can't find my paperwork. Do you keep that? How does
Absolutely.
That work?
Absolutely. Yes, okay. We keep every survey in our office on file for the duration of the life of the company. Life of the license of the individual.
And how long are companies required to keep them?
Always.
Okay, so so they're required by law to keep them permanently.
Yes.
So as long as someone can remember who the company was. Now most people don't know who the surveying company even was. The title company seems to dictate who they end up using. So you may have to do a little bit of work to track down who the company was that even did a survey. But that's good to know that you guys keep them for life.
Yes.
If somebody needs a copy. And are they electronic now? Where like can you guys provide people PDFs of them?
Absolutely.
Okay. So you guys scan them in. Because I'm assuming you probably draw them electronically. You're not drawing them on paper, are you?
We do. It's mainly all electronic drafting, and it goes right to a PDF if we need to send something out.
Okay. Very, very good to know. Knox, when it comes to buying a house, okay, you guys offer to get title insurance. Okay, you guys will also offer – you'll offer survey coverage on some deals where it's – you know, survey is not necessarily required. I guess explain that process and how it works.
In many cases, you know, we will insure, at least provide a lender's policy for a property when they come in to purchase, if they can find a survey that's within 7 to 10 years old with a reputable survey company, they can use an existing one in many cases. And most of the time, you can have access to that via what's been recorded, you know, whatever the case may be at the courthouse. But there are times when, you know, you can also get a survey affidavit, and they can sign it basically waiving that principle, and we're okay with that in certain instances too. As often is the case these days, so many things are in ICB, individual case basis, so we'll get it done, but it's a lot of times there's some different hoops we may have to jump through in order to get that done.
Now, I don't know which one of you would answer that, but what makes a reputable surveying company? I mean, how do I know?
I believe we've already, well, I think he kind of hit on that, and you correct me because it's your deal, but you know, you've got to have your correct licensing. You've got to have good, you know, Better Business Bureau ratings. You've got to have, usually it's seasonality. It's experience like anything else. If there's a survey company that's on this thing and we've been doing business since 1999 ourselves and we don't recognize it, that's an issue, you know, because then you're thinking, who, I have no idea who this person is.
Right.
I don't know if they're licensed here, if they're licensed somewhere else, if it's anybody can come up and do a drawing if you know how to use it. Doesn't mean it's right.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
And I bet you run into it a lot where you come in and there's an existing survey on file that you can see or have access to, and you realize it's completely wrong.
We do.
I see that a lot too. And that's a big problem because then you get people arguing over it. What do you mean it's wrong? Well, we don't make this stuff up, you know.
They're
well,
no longer around. So.
Right. That's exactly right. It. And good luck chasing them down and finding them. And if they didn't have an E&O, then, you know, that the whole thing's gone.
Mm-hmm. What type of survey does a builder have to get if they want to develop a piece of ground and it gets subdivided into a bunch of different plots? That's not a typical survey. What is that?
That's going to be considered under engineering surveying. You're going to need topographic survey. Then you get back to boundary work. You get out boundary of that parent parcel. Take that parent parcel and divide it up to however many units they need. You have a topographic survey that shows the grades of the existing ground. That will go into a design phase at that point. Okay. We're going to locate utilities, grades, all features, give this information to an engineering company. They'll then design a subdivision for grading and sell the lots.
Okay, so the engineering company ends up designing the subdivision, and then they figure out where the property lines should go?
We create the property lines for them. We set the property lines, if you will.
Okay. All right, so they just give you an idea of how many lots they want, and then you guys set the property lines based on that, and that's what defines legal description?
That's the start of creating a original survey, if you will. If you're dividing a parent tract into multiple tracts, it becomes an original survey. We identify those corners by lot number or meets and bounds description.
Okay, and at that point, the house has not been built on the individual lot yet. So then when they sell the property, they find a buyer, they build the house. What is the next phase of what survey is done after that?
Most often, we receive plans of the house that they have a desire to build. We'll take that out to the field, stake the house on the lot to make sure it's properly placed on the lot where there's not any title issues that we get on build our house on the neighbor's lot. Okay. So primarily when a builder's ready to go, they'll need their building staked out.
Okay. So they stake the building out and then they go ahead and pour the foundation. build the house? And then is there another survey done after that for the future homeowner?
I think so. For if there's a lender involved, a lot of times they want to see the foundation placed on that lot to make sure at that point when they go to disperse monies that they're dispersing monies on the proper property.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. So because I see a lot of times a stake survey required by title companies. Knox, do you know what the rule is on that?
As far as the requirement goes?
Yeah. Is there a stake survey required on new construction?
Yes.
Okay. So they have to do a stake survey. And those are more expensive where from a lender standpoint, on our good faith estimates, we have to estimate how much each of the fees are going to be. And I got burned on that one time because I only estimated $200 and we only had a 10% variance on that. So I had to pay the difference between $200 boundary survey and a $550 stake survey was significantly different. So I've learned to estimate those correctly on new construction.
It's exactly right, because you just you never know. Like you alluded to, there's so many different issues, and you think, oh, it's the builder. They know what they're doing, and that's not always the case. You know, you get your guys out there running hot and heavy, and